Betrayed and Taken by Mrs. E. G. White. February 17, 1901. While he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Matthew 26, verse 47. Jesus greeted the mob with the words, "Whom seek ye?" The answer came back, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I am he," Christ said calmly. John 18, verse 4, 5. His voice was full of majesty and power. Divinity flashed through humanity. As he said, "I am he," the angel who had ministered to him in his anguish in the garden stepped in between him and the murderous throng. The people saw Christ's face glorified by a divine light, while a dove-like form overshadowed him. Their sinful hearts were filled with terror, and priests and elders, with the hardened soldiers, fell powerless to the ground. Presently the angel withdrew, leaving Christ standing calm and self-possessed, surrounded by his prostrate foes. The withdrawal of the angel broke the spell. The beams of glory which for a moment had flashed round Christ's face faded away. The Roman soldiers started to their feet, with Judas and the priests gathered round Christ, as though fearful that he would escape. Again Christ asks the question, "Whom seek ye?" The answer is at length given, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I have to you that am he," Christ says. "If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way." Verses 7, 8. Even in this hour of trial, the Savior's thoughts are not for himself, but for his disciples. He desires to save them from any further trial of their strength. The betrayer does not forget his part. Stepping up to Christ, he takes his hand as one would take the hand of a dear friend, and with apparent affection, gives his master the kiss of betrayal. "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Christ asks in a voice tremulous with sorrow. "Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" Matthew 26, verse 50. Luke 22, verse 48. This touching appeal should have awakened the conscience of the deluded disciple and broken his heart. But all sense of honor and tenderness seemed to have left Judas. Bold and defiant he stood before Christ, showing no signs of relenting. He had given himself up to the control of the enemy, and now he has no power to escape from the snare. The murderous throng had been surprised and awed by what they had witnessed. But as they saw Judas boldly touching the person of him who they had recently seen glorified, their hardihood returned. Violently they laid hold of Jesus, roughly binding the hands which had ever been employed in doing good. When the disciples saw the mob lying helpless on the ground, they felt assured that their master would not allow himself to be taken. The same power which had prostrated the mob could keep them helpless, the disciples reasoned, while Jesus escaped unharmed. When they saw that he did not deliver himself from his enemies, but permitted himself to be taken, they all forsook him and fled. Christ had foreseen their desertion. In the upper chamber he had told them what they would do when he was taken. "The hour cometh," he said, "that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." John 16, verse 32. Christ gives himself up into the hands of the disciples, and is led away bound, while the mob follows, hurling at him all the scorn and ridicule which wicked minds can frame. The Savior is led to Annas, who has been waiting with fevered anticipation to hear of his arrest. A look of satisfaction comes over the face of the priest as he sees Jesus, securely bound, standing before him. The one who has so often unveiled the hypocrisy of the proud dignitaries is at last in their power.